Great, everybody, for coming on an amazing day off. Elam gets to come and Mishtatev and learning. As we heard last week, that what's Kiveya, what establishes a person as identity, what's the identity of a person if he's an emissar ben Torah? It doesn't, as we all said last week, it's not necessarily how much time you spend when you're learning, but the ikkar is when you have the time, what do you do with that time? If you have the time, you come and learn, then you're ben Torah. If you have the time and busy doing other things, so then lav dafka. So the Olam's here, Mamish Azav, big Olam, coming to learn. Some people may feel that they were bainis because I forced them to come. But either way, I'm very proud of myself of that. I can take full credit for that. And Baruch Hashem, them comes, Mishtatef Limud HaTorah. It's a very good thing. It should be a big schus for everyone as a yachid and the whole tzibur as a whole. Because they omen. All right. This, our shir today, our chabura, our limud, our seder, is a part of our business halacha awareness initiative. Started about a year ago, and Baruch Hashem, it's grown and it's been tremendous hatzlacha in being mefitz, make known and popularized chesh and mishpat, bati dinim, and the halachas of business. And Baruch Hashem, our partners at the office of Stack, Khan, and Braverman for making this happen. It's been mamish tremendous success. Today, Befrat is being sponsored, and also December 25th was sponsored Luli Nishmas Peretz Ben Alter Eliezer, Alav Hasholem, Peretz Lane, who was an essential part of this Biz Halacha Awareness Initiative, one of the lawyers in the firm. And Shatak, all the Arbat Sateir and Chizik Hateir should be a big ilui for his neshama. We're zeich to have today Rav Dov Khan, who's the Av Bezdin of Bezdin Meisharim, who we have a partnership with in making this whole entire, our chabur that we have in the afternoons, that are learning Chesh and Mishpat. And Bezdin Meisharim has been a tremendous help in increasing our knowledge and in Shiurim and the Chabura, and B'siyat HaDishmaish only grow leaps and bounds. With that, I'm going to introduce Rav Khan. Yeshukai.
I apologize for sitting. To stand for a long time is a little difficult, and I'd rather use the kaikas to give the share. Baruch Hashem, this is not the first time I'm here. And since we already know each other, I think today's share we could be a little more hamish with each other. Instead of giving just like an outright share, I'd rather call it, let's call it a case study. We're going to pretend we're Beis Din. I'm going to give you real life stories that happened. I'm going to try to dissect them one by one. And I say we're trying to dissect them, means you included. What we're going to do is I'm going to start off, I'll give maybe one or two cases, I'll start off giving the psak. And after that, I'm going to ask for some courageous, brave, someone in the audience to explain what the psak is supposed to be. And we're going to take it apart one by one. I think that it will make it more real, more alive, if I give you real life stories, to be able to see how the halach of the Gemara applies to modern day times, to contemporary times, day to day. And we're going to cover a gamut of type of stories. It should be very interesting, entertaining. I mean, some people might even call it edutainment. We're going to see. We'll try to get it together. Let's see how it goes. So first, as a backdrop, before we get into what the topic of today is, I just want to talk about a backdrop. The backdrop is if I hire a poyel, I hire a worker, a service provider, and we have a proper kinyan in place, we have a contract, or even without a contract, if he starts doing the malacha, that's called aschalas malacha, that itself is a kinyan, so then we have a relationship through a kinyan, that means he's already bound to the Balabayas, the Balabayas is bound to him, there's a relationship that's going on, or there's another halakha, even if there's no proper kinyan in place, but I hire the poyel, and then I back out on him when it's too late for him to find another job, I'm responsible, I'm liable to him for his entire wages. It's halakha. Once you're locked into a deal, you can't change. You're locked in. I say entire wages, the chazal said it's not mamish the entire wages, because I'll say that you could deduct somewhat the fact that he had a day's off. Let's say a normal poe will charge $500 for the day, whatever it is, And I'll tell him that instead of you working for me for $500 today, I'll pay you $250 and just take the day off. I could do that too. It's called kapara batal. The shear is not exact. It depends on the industry. As a rule of thumb, the starting point is it's approximately half of his wages. Generally, a person's willing to take a day off and come to Kailu to learn, and he gets half his wages, he's willing to come to Kailu. Right? If the Kailu would raise their Kailu checks, that they'll be able to pay, afford for the Balabatim to pay half of their wages, I'm sure everyone would just join the Kailu. They wouldn't bother working. So, that's approximately. It's not mamish like that, but that's called a pile bottle. That's the terminology. But I am responsible, because I caused him a loss of his day's work. That's not what today's shiur is about. I'll explain. Today's shiur is about is the next step. What happens if the reason why I backed out of this pile is because some circumstances change, some oinus happen, certain variables change, and therefore I don't need the pile, I can't have the pile. That's what today's shiur is addressing. Am I responsible to pay him his wages even though I can't carry through? I can't. An oinus happened and I can't even have him do his service. It's not an okay anymore. Still, am I liable for his wages? And you're going to see. We'll take it apart one by one. Let's start off with a regular true story. There was a school in Lakewood. Many of my stories are going to be from Lakewood. There's a school in Lakewood that hired a teacher. It was the middle of the winter, and they hired a teacher. They expected to expand and open up their third parallel class, and they were needed to prepare, so they hired this teacher for the upcoming school year. Their yeoman comes in the summer, and comes the summertime, and they realize at that point that they're not opening up the class. Either because they didn't have enough applicants to fill a third class of the applicants that they want for their school, whatever it is, that flavor. In Lakewood, there's a lot of flavors. It's over 50 schools. There's like a lot of flavors. For that school, what they want, they didn't have enough applicants to fill that third class. Or the story happened to have been is that they wanted to open up a third class, but what they were hoping to be allowed to have a third class in the trailer in the school yard, they didn't get permission, they didn't have a permit, township approval, and therefore they couldn't house that third class, and therefore they had to not open up that third class. So here we have a teacher now scrambling, stuck and stranded, literally stranded, in the middle of the summer, she's out of a job a few weeks before the school year. At this point, she's not getting another job for the year. Had the school not hired her in the winter, she would have had 10 options, plenty of opportunities to have a job. She was hired, and now she was messed over. Now she's out of a job. Is the school liable to pay her wages for that year? So had the school willingly, deliberately backed out, of course they'll be liable. Maybe kapara batal, but fine, but they'll be liable. But here, the school had a problem. They discovered in the summer that they can't have that third class. They wanted, they hoped for, but it didn't work. Now they can't open up that third class. Is the school liable in her wages or not? That's the question. So let's bring out the variables of the sugya, and we'll show you how it applies to this case. The Gemara gives three stories. We're going to focus on one of them. I hired you to irrigate my fields. And what happened was, is the Nahar came, the river came, and irrigated the field. That night, it irrigated the field, and now I don't need your service. Or the Nahar stopped, and we can't even irrigate the field if we try to. There's no water to be had. You can't irrigate my field. So the Gemara makes a kalal, that if it's something that we both should have entertained, it's something that's shchiach, something that's common. We should have both entertained that this might happen. And now this oin is cropped up. I'm potter. The pile takes the hit. When all is even, the pile loses out. If it would be something, I think we just lost the mic. If it would be something that we both should have entertained, either we should have or couldn't have entertained, both ways. Doesn't make sense. As long as we're even territory, something that we should have entertained, let's say it's normal for the Nahar to be paisek, or we shouldn't have entertained, it's not normal for the Nahar to be paisek. Again, if it's all equal, the pearl takes the hit, he loses out. But if it's something that the Balabais knew about, he's from the city, he knows that the Nar sometimes acts up, and the Poyel is from outside the city, is not aware of it, the Balabais had a piece of information more than the Poyel did. He knew that there's a chance, and the Poyel didn't realize that percentage, that chance, that risk, then the Balabais is at fault. He should have told the Poyel initially, by the way, if the Nar acts up, I'm not going to pay you. And if he doesn't, then he's going to take the hit. And the Balabais is liable. Basically, when all is equal, all the factors are equal, we both had the same understanding, the same knowledge of this einus, we entertained it, or we couldn't have entertained it, either way, we're both equal, the Poyel is going to lose out. But if there's something that the Balabais knew that the Poyel didn't know, and that was part of the cause of the einus that happened, then the Balabais can't claim einus. Well, claim einus. You knew something that I didn't know. You can't claim einus, and therefore the Balabais will be liable. So let's go back to our story about the school hiring this teacher. If everything was legit, and the teacher was also aware that the only way to have this third class would be relying on this wish and this dream that the township will approve them to have a trailer on their backyard, so then everyone was on the same plane, so then the teacher would lose out. But what happened, that wasn't the case. The teacher had no idea that that was the case. And the school knew that they were banking on that. Now comes the summer and they were not approved. They can't cry einus. They can't claim einus. It's not an einus. You knew something that the teacher didn't know about. If you should have notified the teacher initially that the teacher, you should know, it's not guaranteed, it's not 100%, we're hoping it's 90%. Usually the township approves it, it's 80%. At least then the teacher could have made a decision, should I go here to teach on an 80% chance or should I look for another job? But you hid that fact from the teacher, therefore the school is going to be liable for her wages for the entire year. Kapoil bato, because she got off. She was able to spend time with the family, but they're going to be liable for the entire year. And the same thing is, if they were banking that they're going to have applicants, and they notify, in Lakewood it's like, I don't know what happens in Miami, but in Lakewood, this is like common, the schools spread out the rumor that they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of applicants. I believe these schools go around saying they have 400 applicants, 500 applicants, you offer like 50 slots, you know, that's what they do. Now, I can't tell you if they have those applicants or not. They probably have more than 50. I hardly doubt they have 400, but this is the rumors that they spread to show like it's wow, and that's how it goes. So if they spread those rumors that they had so many applicants and the teacher fell for that, the teacher thought, oh, you had so many applicants, I should think that you are not going to open up a third class. And in the meantime, they didn't have 400 applicants, they had 100 applicants, and they chose only like 60, and they have 30 in a class, so then that's it, they only have to fill two classes, and they're... But that's something that the school knew about, that the teacher didn't know about, and then the school will be liable. Since the school knew something that the teacher didn't know, so therefore the school is going to be liable. All right.
Does it make a difference that the teacher would have done it anyway?
What do you mean she would have done? She would have taken this job? So she would have taken the risk? That's a good question, depending what the mechayev is. That means if with learning that the machayev is that she could have gotten another job and now she turned it down to come here, so in your situation, for some reason, that's not applicable. But if she made a contract, if she has a kinyan, so then they're chayev for that kinyan. Once you have a kinyan with a poyel, you're liable. Or haskalas malacha, which is not in this case, but we'll see in another case, it will be shortly. But if you have a kinyan, so then you're bound. You owe the wages to the employee. If you have a contract
with
they were not on the same page. You don't. If they are on the same page, if they're on the same page, that's it. The school's potter. That's regardless whether the teacher would have taken their job. Not the school is potter. Okay, let's bring it out. Let's talk. Let's try to get.
Masaf Karim wouldn't make a difference in the teacher in the case here. We wouldn't say that if the school. Let's say both knew that they were banking on the trailer. But we wouldn't say in this situation that her yediyah doesn't change that it was mazlach of the yeshiva. Not
oh, yet. How do you know it's mazlach of the yeshiva? Maybe it's mazlach of the teacher. How do you know? We can't play the Rosh Hashanah, right? So if it's all are equal, then we assume it's the Poyel's loss, right? Because the Poyel is the, so to speak, Meitzim Mikavel of a Rai. I don't want to go into the Lamda so much, but basically it's incumbent upon the poel to stipulate that they want to get paid even when an oinus happens. Because the valabais is the one who's holding on to the money, so the poel had that obligation. It was incumbent upon her. Let's give another case. Let's hit home a little, Rabbi Sai. This was just like an opener. Give me one more story, and then we'll take the question. One second. Let's say somebody is in Lakewood again. The wives work. I have no idea how it works here, but I'm not hoping Khalilah. I assume it's the same thing. But in Lakewood, most of the women work. So here you have a wife who's working, so she has to have her kids watch. So she sends her kids to a play group. And she has certain hours. The standard playgroup in Lakewood is from 9:30 to 2. That's the standard playgroup. And those hours work fine for her, for the mother, because the mother, that's her hours actually in her work, and it works great. The whole Lakewood system economy works around these playgroups. Everyone knows. I have a nephew from out of town. He says, I don't know what's with Lakewood. 3 o'clock, the place is closed. That's how it goes. You can't get anything done after 3 o'clock. So, those are the hours she had. The playgroup worked fine. In the middle of the year, come December time, her boss tells her that these hours don't work for him anymore, and he has to move around her hours, and he wants her to work from 10 to 3:30. What's she going to do now? Well, she can leave a kid stranded at 2 o'clock. What's she going to do? So she really has to find a specialty playgroup. There are those who have longer hours and will keep the child till 3:30. So now she makes the decision to pull the kid out of the first playgroup and now to place the kid into a second playgroup, because the first playgroup doesn't work for her anymore. Those hours aren't good for her anymore. So that she pulled out of the first playgroup, is she responsible to pay the playgroup for the entire year? There was an oinus that took place. Is she responsible to play the playgroup? Lamai says the playgroup has slots. The slots were filled. She started the year. It's Askolos Melach as well. And that's it. If you're backing out, if I would have known that you were going to pull your child out in the middle of the year, I would have never reserved that slot for your child. I would have taken a different child. So is she liable to pay the playgroup for that entire year or not?
Does it matter if they can fill the spot at the playgroup?
Oh, so if they can fill the spot, then there's not. Then you're right. Then there's nothing to talk about, because then they may hold elsewhere.
Do they have a duty to actually go out?
So there is. It could be tarumis, but yes, either the mother will have that duty, or the playgroup would have that duty, depending on the situation. Pasha's the mother would have that duty. But if we could fill it, then there's no loss, and we're good. We're talking about there is a loss. The playgroup motor took a loss. She cannot fill the spot. She cannot fill it. Now what is she going to do now? Is the parent liable for that playgroup for the entire year or not?
Does the boss have to pay the difference?
The boss has to pay for the playgroup. Well, first let's decide who's liable or not. Let's understand. So let's play these variables out again. Chazor Sashir. The variables are, if all are equal, then the service provider loses out. So if this woman, this mother, had no idea that the boss is going to swap these hours. She had no idea. There was no writing on the wall. She didn't realize the boss never mentioned and breathed any word about this, that he might change her hours. So then this was a surprise to her, just like it was a surprise to the playgroup teacher. So then if that's the case, it's an oinus that neither were aware about. Everyone is equal. So then the playgroup teacher will lose out. She's the poel. She's going to lose out. But what happens if the mother already smelled that this might happen? She already realized the business is growing and she's taking a little higher, stronger position in the company, and the boss might want her for more hours, and she didn't breathe a word of it to the playgroup teacher. So she was armed with a piece of information that the playgroup teacher was unaware of. Then she no longer could cry oinus. She's not an oinus. She knew something that the playgroup teacher did not, and in which case she will be liable to the playgroup teacher for the entire year. And here, there really is not much of a deduction called payal batal, because the playgroup teacher is not being batal. Pegu Green, instead of teaching seven kids, will teach six kids. Well, instead of 10, is teaching 9. She's not really gaining much. She'll gain a drop. Maybe we'll give her 5% off of the bill, 10% off the bill. Not much. For the playgroup teacher that she's sweating and working and doing and singing and making arts and crafts, so she'll have to cut one less arts and crafts. I mean, what? How much is she gaining? So therefore, the deduction off full wage is mamish nominal. But
what if they would have had to hire an additional teacher and like that was the that change? That one extra kid could have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
That and therefore they hired the extra teacher?
So it's
going to be the same variable. The variable is if we're all equal on the oinus, then the playgroup loses out. If I knew something that the playgroup didn't know and I didn't share it with her, then it's my responsibility.
I mean, there would for sure be some arbons, I'll say, in that.
In which?
Say if the playgroup had, let's say they hired an additional
teacher. Oh, hired. What? Sorry. Okay.
Why is this connected? Just because your hours change, you figure out what to do from 2:30 to 3. It's not like there was pasach nar or something like this.
No, my job just changed. My job
changed. Of all this, you figure out what to do between 2 and 3. You
okay.
Can't call that.
So, once we're on that topic, let's move a slightly. Let's change the variable to drop. And make it that the mother, napshat that her boss said that her hours changed, but rather the mother decided to get a different job. The mother was looking for another job and she landed a better paying job, a better job, whatever it is, a more prestigious job, a job that has more future, whatever the reason is, and she jumped ship and now she took on a new job and this new job has different hours. What's the halakha then? So again, it's going to be, did I know or not know? Was I looking, was I entertaining to try to get better employment or not? But the truth, this is what I'm getting to. But here, it's not even pashut at all. The hainu, that even if at the time I hired the playgroup at the beginning of the year, I wasn't entertaining getting a new job, and something happened at Sukkot time, I had a run-in with my boss, and I got to get out, whatever it is. But the fact is that I'm now going to get another job, Lav Dafka, that's an oinus. That's a decision I'm making. It wasn't thrown upon me, it wasn't forced on me. It's a decision I am now making. I am deciding to get better employment. If I'm deciding to get better employment, Lav Dafka, that's an oinus. It's not clear. And I'll give you a story that happened in Mais Mekoyim, maybe it happens here, in the old Lakewood. Now it doesn't happen, but the old Lakewood, going back 25, 30 years ago, what happened was that they very often had that. So in the beginning of the year, has his kids enrolled in schools and in playgroups and the like. And in the middle of the year, he lands a Rebbe's job in New York. So he picks up his entire family and he moves to New York. Once he moves to New York, he's no longer sending his playgroup children to Lakewood. He's not shuffling back and forth an hour and here to Lakewood. So now I live in New York. It's the middle of the school year. Am I liable to the schools? Am I liable to the playgroups for backing out in the middle of the year? Now it doesn't happen like that. Now it's forget. The people in New York are coming to Lakewood. But that's the olden days. That's how it happens. You made a decision. It wasn't forced on you, but you made a decision to take a job to leave. That's not so simple that that's considered an oinus. Libi oimali, that's probably still considered an oinus. I have a, what we call a chatzi raiv. I can't say it with confidence. So let's just leave it. But at least going back by the playgroup, and we have that case of the teacher. Let's give one more story. It's still, yeah, it's all year. Because we knew that the job was for the whole year. You're not hiring a teacher just for 1 month.
This is all of it. It wasn't spoken out like a contract before, that if you decide for whatever reason to leave, you've got all the money.
Whatever you specify at the beginning, that's great. The more you specify at the beginning and we agree upon it, that's great. That's basically what Chazal is telling you. Don't hide information. Share it, and everyone's on the same plane. Oh, and this happens, good. But if you have some information, you're holding the cards to your chest, and you're not sharing that information, that's going to cost you.
I'm saying the playgroup can stipulate that even if an oinus happens.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. They can make that stipulation, too. And let me share with you a child that happened a few days.
Is there a nisser on the parties to think, are they violating a Jewish law by backing out of the deal?
If it's an oinus, then didn't violate.
It's not an oinus. So now, if
I said already, we're only discussing oinus. If it's not an oinus, avada yechayiv, and avada yishum back out.
In this case, is this man justified in taking a new job in New York if he's violating the halacha?
So again, if it's considered an oinus, then he's not violating it. If it's not considered an oinus, then he is violating, then he shouldn't be doing it. Okay, I'm going to share with you, so it just happened mamish last week. Someone called me up with the following shaila. In New York, there seems to have been a law that when you build commercial construction buildings, you need to have, besides obviously you have to build it according to code, but you need to have what we call a site administrator. Anyone know what a site administrator is? Okay, so I didn't know either, but what the person told me is that you need to hire somebody, his job is just to make sure that the site is safe. No one's going to get hurt on the site. The guy does nothing, just stands there, makes sure that no one's going to get hurt. That's what he does. Good. So a site administrator and the project, let's say the building is supposed to last 2 years to construct, and he was hired, it's 4 months into the project, and they just discovered that New York repealed the law about a half a year ago. Half a year ago, they repealed this law that you don't need anymore a site administrator. I guess either we don't care about safety anymore, or they realize that it doesn't do anything. Good. But so this is the story. So now the shaila is, he was hired for the project. It's a two-year project. It's a two-year project. And it's 4 months into the project. Is the contractor liable to pay his wages for the next year and 8 months? Or can he say, I'm an oinus and I'm potter? What do you say, Rabbi Isai? This shalom, it's an easy one. Anyone? Who's the he?
The contractor.
And why do you hold? Hold on, we'll get there. Everyone agree with him that contractors
are on the same page.
Yeah, so the Chayyah, he's right. Both could have, would have, and should have known the law, or both maybe shouldn't have known the law. Either way, but they're both on the same page. Neither of them knew the law that it changed. Everyone knew the old law. Neither knew the law that it changed. And Memela, they're both equal. Why is one more shuldig than the other? They're both on the same page. Memela, yes, the site manager is done. His job is over. For the first 4 months that he did work, however, he needed to be paid for, because actually he did the work. There's a nesiva, a smah, that if you do the work till the oinus, or till you know about the oinus avada, you have to get paid. But here, from moving forward, it's an oinus that neither should have known, or neither should have known. However you want to say it, we're both on the same page, and Mamela, the contractor, is off the hook.
And the contractor should change the price as well to the person who hired him, so that he's not pocketing that extra money.
Yeah, sure. You're not going to be a contractor. All right. But why is the contractor more knowledgeable than the site manager? It's also his business. They're both in real estate. The site manager is Mamish's business. He's a site manager. The contractor does everything under the sun. But it's that industry. They should have both either known or not known.
The way the contractor hires somebody, right? In this case, the site manager, it doesn't necessarily mean at that point that
Yes, it's definitely something that I should mention. Knowing the Metzius in New York, before they made the law, there was not one person who ever hired a site manager. And after they repealed the law, there's not going to be anyone ever hiring a site manager again, because he really does nothing. It was just to satisfy the law. You're right. If there's still some benefit out of it, then maybe there's no oinus. Maybe I would have done it for other reasons. But everyone knows that wasn't even the shaila. The employee himself said it's pashut that he only did it because of the law. That was not even the shaila. Okay, I want to share with you another story, Rabbi Isai. Okay, but this one I'm going to ask for a courageous volunteer. You ready? Reuven was traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Newark, and it's Shioris Mitzuyas, but he hired a driver to pick him up from the airport. And on the plane, he meets Yankel and Shmerel and Beryl. And Yankel says, once Yankel happens to be a guy who lives down the block, oh, 1 second, Reuven, great, you're going back to Lakewood. I have a car here. I'll drive you back to Lakewood. So Reuven says, you know, I would love to take you up on your offer. Don't be insulted, I'm not, but I already hired a driver. he's going to be coming to pick me up. If I cancel on him, I'm doing him an injustice. He got up early in the morning because it landed early. He's getting up. It'll be an injustice. He got up 5 in the morning to pick me up at the airport. I'm going to cancel him. I can't do that. Okay, fine. Tabayin Shalom is Mesavik Kolasibis. And what he did was, Tabayin Shalom made it that there was a major accident on the main road to be able to get to the airport. That main road had an accident. It was totally closed. The road was closed. That driver was sitting in traffic for over an hour, nothing doing. It's a standstill. There's not a chance in the world he's going to get to the airport anywhere close to the time that he needs to. He calls up the passenger, Ruvein, tells him, I can't get to the airport. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. I apologize. So, of course, Ruvein then goes back to Yankel and takes the ride home with Yankel. Now, the shaila is Ruvein responsible for the wages of this pile or not? This guy, he got up early, he traveled, he already did half the time, he's already halfway to Newark, and now he's stuck in traffic. He's stuck in an accident. Is Ruvein responsible to pay him his wages or not? Who's going to volunteer?
He didn't do the job.
And why isn't he responsible for the rest? It was an oinus that neither of them were aware about. I mean, neither of them could have predicted that there was this accident going to happen. And everyone knows that accidents can happen. It's extremely rare. They'll close off the entire road. But everyone knows that. And everyone is all is equal. So in which case, the Ruvein in this case would be Potter. That is correct. Ruvein would be Potter, but he would have to pay him Pashtus. You have to pay him. It's not Pashtus. In this case, it's not so Pashtus, but let's assume he would have to pay him for at least the time that he put in. It's not so Pashtus. But let's just say. That could be. If the person who driver is. Right. So first of all, he might be poor, but no, anyone in Kaila is not a schnook. That's for sure. But it could be that he's poor, and it could be a driver. There is a Gemara, Rabbi Bachana, there is a Gemara that says that when you're dealing with menial wages, like those type of workers, then even if something happens, you should try to pay them anyway. Whatever it is, we could go into it, but there is an inyan to pay. But I'm talking about now strict halakha. So in strict halakha, the person would be pata l'chayra. Now what? So the question is, what is a considered acceptable wait at the airport? If it's not considerable to wait at the airport 40 minutes till your driver comes, that was defeats all purpose of the drive. For that, I could just hire a taxi. I could get an Uber. I hired you because I want to have in and out smoothly. Okay. But what would be Rabbi say in Lakewood? There's such a mitzias that these drivers, some of them don't have their own car or they don't use their own car, but they actually use your car. They take your car, they pick up your car, they drive to the airport with your car, pick you up and drive you back home, and here's your car. That's how it's done. Some of them do it like that. And on the way to the airport, the engine goes, or the transmission goes, or something goes in the car. The oil, there was a leaking, there's no more oil left, whether it's overheats, something goes. Is Ruvein responsible to pay for this driver or not? So this would depend. Correct, we're discussing only skiers pilum. This year is only skiers pilum. So only skiers pilum when an oinus, but Mam is very specific right now. So it would depend on what type of car you have. It means if it's something that's expected by everyone that this car might not get to the airport, so then we all knew about it. But what happens if on the outside the car looks fine, but the owner knew that the car acts up, it's moody, and sometimes it has these issues, or the owner knows that he's not so good about giving oil changes. The last one was by his son's birth, which was 13 years ago. Whatever it was, however the case might be, if the owner of the car knew something more than the driver did, and he didn't share that risk with the driver, then the owner's going to be responsible. Then you have to pay him the wage, because that's no longer an oinus. You knew something that he didn't know. I want to go back to the story on this flight. Here you have a person who did the right thing. He turned down that offer to get a ride because he hired someone to pick him up from the airport. That was what happened. The Rebbeinu Sholem was Masav Kol HaZibus and made that oinus happen afterwards. But I want to know, what happens if Reuven, being tempted to take this rod by Yaakov, you know, his friend, this guy lives down the block, what happens if he would succumb to that temptation and he would accepted that offer, and then he would have called up or texted on the plane, he would text the driver, don't bother waking up today, or when you get it, when he wakes up, don't bother picking me up, Baruch Hashem, I found another ride. Let's say he would have done that. And at that point, he would have been doing an avla, and he would be chayef, freeze the moment. At that point, he had no right to back out. He had really wasn't supposed to back out. And the chayef would be doing an avla to the person, and it would be liable for that person's wages. But, if it's either ischilu or you have a kinyan, depending on the case, right? Okay. Or he would have gotten another job, and because of you, he didn't take the other job. Exactly. Now, one second, I didn't finish the story yet, one second. So, he backed out of this pile, but a half hour later, the accident happened. That didn't change. The accident happened regardless. So even if Reuven wouldn't have backed out of this pile, there was no way in the world the pile would ever been able to pick him up from the airport. Is Reuven liable or not? Yes, what's your raya? Riki Vega, gorgeous, that's what I'm looking for. Riki Vega. Riki Vega quotes a Chuvis Ramah, that the Ramah says that at the time that you backed out, the onus didn't happen yet, and you're chayiv. So even though the onus crapped up later, and really at that point the pearl had no ability to make it, nevertheless, so Riki Vega and the Chuvis Ramah, you would be chayiv, because we go at the time that you backed out, and at that time you backed out, it was a naughty thing to do. You backed out when you didn't have a right to. So Rabbi Say, now look at the story now, but he didn't back out. And he said that he's going to hire this pearl, stick with the pearl. And then the oinus happened, he was potter, because it's the oinus that neither of them could have entertained. So you see that honesty pays off. See, here had it, that because he kept the halacha, he ends up being potter. Had he not kept the halacha, had he backed out, then he would have been liable, even though the oinus happened later on.
So, at what point is it too late to back out? Like, let's say he had decided to extend this trip there to Searle or something like that.
So again, if you back at it enough time that the worker could fill the slot with somebody else easily, so then he would be able to back out. If it takes Tirka, then it could be Tarumis. But you still would be Potter, but you still have Tarumis on you. You could still have a Tain on you. He could still, you know, bear a grudge against you. But if he can't fill the slot, you're backing out too late, like in this case, where an hour before the flight is landing, there's no way he's filling that slot. So if those type of cases, and then you messed him over, that's when you would have this liability or not.
In all these cases, if the Beit Din has met and they rule, and the school got paid, and everybody who needed to be compensated was compensated, and then immediately after that, the school finds a kid for the slot, or all those things are rectified. Did they have to refund the money?
L'chayre, they do. That is different than the case like the Ramah. And what we're talking about with the onus cropped up later on, and he couldn't do the job anyway. You're talking about a situation where there was no longer a hefsid. Means the school found that the playgroup found that replacement child. So Mamela, there's no more hefsid, like Josh said before. So in that type of a case, then you're going to be potter. I have to make you whole. If I can make you whole by getting another child to fill the slot, even if it's in 2 months' time, that's fine. So I'll pay for these 2 months, and from there on, let that other parent pay for that child. So then that will be fine.
Now, have you been eager that the party's chayev the money, and now you could fix it? Now you're not chayev anymore?
He's not, Riki Vega is talking about where there's an oinus that you didn't fix it and you can't fix it. He's talking about a case where you're being mashlim him in a different way, right? You're filling that void with another child. That's fine. That's not Riki Vega. Riki Vega is talking about only when the oinus, and it'll never be filled, but he couldn't have done it anyway because the oinus cropped up. But since when you backed out, the oinus didn't come in yet, so then you can be chayav. Now, it happens to be this Chuvis Ramah is not Muskim. There's a Sham Mishpat, not over here. There's a Sham Mishpat in the beginning of Shin Lama Gimel who argues with Ramah, but that's not for today's sake. We're doing Shin Lama Dalet. But I'm just standing away, bringing out the points that the Nukud is here, is that when, it depends when you backed out. Okay, let me give you another story.
Rekiva Eger is talking about that the onus itself developed later, or you found out about the onus later?
What's the difference? And is there a difference?
Car accident. You didn't know about it until later.
So therefore, then it should be called chicane. And should call chicane. At the time I did it, I for sure did it.
The accident had already happened. I just didn't know.
That wasn't my case. My case wasn't that. My case was backed up before the illness happened, right? That was my case. All right, let me share with you another story of Rabbi Isai. Okay, I'm going to ask for volunteers on this one again. A story is like this. This is Maisim B'chol Yoim. Quite common. I get these shailas all the time. In fact, I just got the shaila actually last night here in North Miami. I got the shaila in my room last night. A lady called me up. Okay, so she was doing like more like a therapy type, but a similar type of a shaila. My shaila is we have Rebbeim learning with children after school hours. So they learn with the child, half hour a night, 45 minutes a night, either extracurriculum or a tutor, whatever it might be. And one day, no warning, no advance notice, the child doesn't show up. The Rebbe's in the Beis Medrash plugging away, learning and learning and learning, and the kid's nowhere to be found. They found out later, I don't know if it happens here in North Miami, although I did see last night a basketball court, but like on the way to shul, he got caught up with the game, and he forgot about going to his learning. I'm sure the North Miami kids are chosh if they don't do those things, but let's talk about in other places that they have such a thing, and he didn't wind up, he never got to his Rebbe. Parents sent him out of the house, Patala, it's, you know, 6:25, 6:30, you got to be there, okay. And just the kid just never made it. Can the Rebbe charge the parents for that session or not? Any volunteers?
Everybody knows that I'm old. There's these types of kids. It's no.
Okay, so good, excellent. Okay, so the in Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dalet talks about a malamed, who's teaching a son and a child, and the child got sick. And the halacha is that if it's just a regular sickness that happens time to time, like all children, so everyone's on the same plane, so then the malamed's going to lose out. But if this child is more prone to getting these flus or whatever it is, and the father knew about it and the malamed didn't know about it, then it's going to be that the father's going to be responsible because he didn't share that information with the malamed. So now, when you talk about these type of kids, like I said, because North Miami has Choshevik kids, but in Lakewood, every type of kid is like this. What I mean is, every kid, every once in a while, will come late or miss. This is how it is. That is what we call a kid. Look in the dictionary. A kid is somebody who's not 100% responsible, and that's what it is. That's what a kid is. It's a cotton, right? In Chazal's terminology of a cotton. So this is expected at the get-go that there will be times that the child will show up late, and the child won't show all together. So if it's a normal type of a situation, it's a regular kid, and he misses that twice a year, whatever it is, absent, that's going to be a problem for the malamed, because it's normal, and if he wanted to get paid for that downtime, he should have been masna with the father, that even if your child doesn't show, and in Lakewood they do that quite often, they thought, look, I'm here. I'm yours. For these 45 minutes, I'm yours. If your child shows, great. I would love to learn with your child. If he doesn't show, I'm still here. I'm going to wait for your child that whole time. And Mimela, I deserve to get paid. So if you're masna, then you're going to get it. But what happens if, what happens if this child is a little bit more eluyish? This child, you know, has that tendency, and the father knew about his bright genius, you know, future genius here, and the malamed didn't know about that so much. So then if that's the case, then the father will be responsible.
What if the malamed traveled to his house? As opposed to like meeting up in Chile. But
to the house, and then what?
He put something in for it.
He put it in, to come to the shul also, he put it in. He did ask us malacha. He did it, but the question is that if there's an oinus, and everyone's equal, so then the malamed is going to take the hit. Now,
Is there an issue with companies charging a cancellation fee for a missed appointment and then filling it and charging the full amount?
Double dipping is a career problem. Yeah, double dipping you can't do unless you notify, which hardly unlikely you do. But
why is there an argument? Why maybe the father should have drove this time to the show?
Is that, I don't know about you, but do you know anyone who does that? Right. It's not. That's not the expectation. That's not the norm. So again, whatever is considered normal, if it's normal, then the Malamed, right, is going to take that, unless he's Masna, or Rabbi say, if there's a minig otherwise. If there's a minig that you pay the Malamed, it means everyone, there were enough people already on Masna, this and now became standard, it's a minig, so then you owe the Malamed for that time, that's it, because that's the minig. But in absence of a minig, these are the dynamics, these are the variables. Okay, now in this case, when you are chayv to the malamid, as once we hear it, I may as well mention, when you are chayv to the malamid, you do not deduct for a poil bottom. You have to pay him his full wages. And the reason is because I'll say that it's like, oh, close to Mechuzah, true is a Rashba, passing the halacha like that, is that a malamid enjoys learning with people. He enjoys that. He's not gaining anything by not learning with a child. So Mamele, he wants to get full pay because he enjoys. He doesn't gain anything. Like, yeah, a worker sweating away. So then, if he has a day off, he can come to the shul and listen to a shir. So good, it's a little entertaining. So Mamele, that's enjoyable. He'll take a cut in his wage. But a Rebbe who's there, he enjoys learning with his with the children. Mamele, you can't even deduct anything.
All right.
Sorry? Yeah, I was waiting for that. Okay.
What if the Malamed's going to use that time and now go to the grocery store and get groceries?
So if he benefited from that time in the Kanaim, then there'll be some deduction of, but he really can't because maybe the kid will show up. What does that mean? Maybe it's going to be 10 minutes late, 20 minutes late, maybe show up. All right, another story of Baisai. Someone showed up in going back a couple of years in 2020, 2021, it's a true story. It actually was already in 2021, but I don't know Florida, but I can tell you New Jersey has a Democratic governor. So we live in like a whole, COVID has a different definition. Like we're back into COVID. I don't know if you realize, but like they're already talking about threatening us, so we're going into COVID again. That's how it goes. So COVID lasted a lot longer than reality. But so the way it works is, in Lakewood it was, or in New Jersey for that matter, is when you went to any doctor's or dentist's appointment, a visit, you went there and they checked you, they checked your temperature. The first thing they did is check the temperature. If you had fever, they told you to go home. That's how it went. So here you have somebody who went to their dentist visit feeling perfectly fine. He was perfectly fine. He gets there and they told him, by the way, you have temperature, you're 100. I mean, Bokshem, I have temperature. Everyone has temperature. But Bokshem, if you tell you have fever, okay, you have fever, they're not working on you. And then the secretary tells him, okay, so today's visit is $150. What today's visit? There was no today's visit. I would love to have today's visit. You're not letting me have today's. No, the policy is that we don't work on patients who have COVID or someone who have a chash that has COVID. But the mice is, we have an empty slot. What we're supposed to do with this empty slot now. It's right now. So you cause us a hefzid of that $150. So the question is the person liable? True story. The person liable. If Florida probably has a Republican governor, probably you didn't have COVID for that long. Right, but by us, COVID lasted for about a year and a half. That's how it went. So the nice is, now, did he have COVID? Probably not, doesn't make a difference. But the bottom line is that they refused to work on this patient, and that's it. Now, is that person liable for the doctor's visit or not?
He didn't know about them beforehand. He didn't know about them.
Right, so exactly. He didn't know about it. He felt well. So if he felt well, and all is equal, then he's going to be potter. But what happens if he felt the drop under the weather, and he already
knew about this policy? Let's say he didn't know the
unfortunately, policy. Everyone knew about this policy.
That would be charged.
Oh, no, not about the charge, but they knew that they're not working on COVID patients. It was on everyone's answering machines and messages. You call the office, you know, if you have COVID, you know, please don't come. We're going to test you. That's how it goes. It was a craze. Mamisha craze. It took people over.
The financial policy.
No, he didn't know about the financial policy, but now it's a halakha question. Question is he responsible or not? So let's say you didn't know about the financial policy. That people didn't know about. I just want to know halakha. Let's say there was no policy. I want to know halakha. Is a person responsible to pay for that visit or not? So if he felt fine, all's equal, he's off the hook. But what happens if he did feel a bit under the weather yesterday? He didn't want to check his temperature, because if he checks and he finds out that he has COVID, then who knows what, they'll hit the books at him in New Jersey. So good, so he's not going to do that. That's dangerous. So what you do is, you just live with it and go weiter. That's how everyone dealt with the situation. But since he had an inkling that he had something that they didn't know, so then he can't cry einus anymore, and then he would be responsible.
The doctor's office just said, by the way, if you do have COVID, we're going to charge you.
Yeah, that they didn't say.
The information that they didn't tell to the patient.
Yeah, but that's not, forget, so let's say they didn't, now they're coming now to ask a shayla. They want to know, is the patient responsible or not? So it'll depend on whether the patient knew something that they didn't know. Okay, another story, Rabbi Isai. How many more stories can I go? Two more stories? Okay, fine. Another story, Rabbi Isai. You have an apartment building, this is also happens quite often. You have an apartment building, and there's a toilet leaking, the toilet broke in apartment 6F, whatever it is. Fine. So the manager calls down the plumber. The plumber schleps to the building, comes, knocks on the door. The door's locked, no one's home, no one enters. So he charges the building for a service call. I came to the building to fix your toilet. The fact that you don't allow me entry, that's your problem, not my problem. I came, I'm willing to do my work. So the manager says, I'm annoyed because I notified the tenant to be there, and the tenant told me she is going to be there, and she for some reason wasn't there or didn't answer the door. So, in that case, Rabbi Say, what would be the halakha? Then you'd be potter, because it was annoyed. But what happens if the manager didn't notify the tenant? He forgot to notify the tenant to expect a plumber tomorrow morning. Sorry?
Shouldn't the tenant be responsible?
So, right, we could talk about maybe the tenant's responsible, but in economy, maybe. But at least I'm talking about now the manager. The manager would go off talk. But what happens if the manager didn't notify the tenant? What would be then?
Manager's responsible.
The manager didn't notify the tenant that the plumber's coming.
He should be responsible.
Then the manager would be responsible. So, because the manager knew something that the tenant didn't know. I'm sorry, that the plumber didn't know. So in that case, Rabbi Isai, I just want to point out, because unfortunately people don't realize this, is then the manager is personally responsible. Lafuke, he can't now throw the charge back at the owner of the building. The owner of the building didn't do anything wrong. It's the manager who did something wrong. Sure. So the manager is personally responsible to pay this plumber. Now what happens if the manager, even if the tenant for some reason didn't open up the door, but the expectation is in many buildings is that the manager has access to every apartment. He has a master key, a master combination, whatever it is, and has access to every apartment, and the manager didn't share with the plumber that he didn't. So in that case, it's going to come out that the manager was responsible. The manager knew something that could cause the illness that the plumber didn't know about. So then the manager is going to be responsible again because he should have shared that information.
He personally hired the plumber.
But he personally botched. So yeah, so what would happen is like this. The owner of the building could be chayev if he's working on behalf of the corporation. So then the plumber could go to the corporation, but then the owner of the building could turn back to the manager and say that you botched. Your job is to maintain the building. I pay you for that. You botched. So then now you cause me a loss.
Is that
so garmi? It could be garmi, it could be shoimer, it could be both. We could talk about it. It's umin shakoko. We could talk about different topics, but he's going to be chayev for that. All right, Rabbi Isai, one more shayla.
What happens if he's a pole of the apartment building?
What happens if he's a?
He's a pole of the apartment building.
Who, the plumber's a pole?
The manager.
Right.
He has an employee, makes a mistake.
No, I'm saying that the balabais, the corporation, the owner is going to have to pay, but then he could turn back to the manager and said, you botched up, you messed me over, so then you'll be responsible. Now, there are sometimes exclusions when you hire people or in partnerships, you know, there's negligence, gross negligence, depending what wording you use. Sometimes, if it's not considered gross negligence, and we only machive the employees or the partners for gross negligence, and then this will be short of gross negligence. I think it's negligence. We could argue about that maybe, but I think it's negligence. You didn't prepare. You forgot. What did you do? Okay, one more story, Rabbi Isai, and this is unfortunately happens too often. And the story is like this: that somebody, Baruch Hashem, his kal is engaged, his daughter is engaged, and he books a hall, a chasen hall, and a photographer. and a musician. Mamashi, he goes down the line, right? And he has a musician, a photographer, a caterer, the whole. He's booking everything, Baruch Hashem, because his daughter's chasen is in 3 months' time. And unfortunately, the engagement was rocky and never made it to the finish line. And now there's a broken engagement. So he doesn't need the hall, he doesn't need a photographer, doesn't need a musician, doesn't need the caterer. So now he is an oinis, right? He's not having a chasna. Nebuch, he's not having a chasna. Is he still responsible to pay them for their fees? The caterer, the musician, the photographer, he's still responsible or not?
Assuming they can't replace it.
Let's say assume they can't replace it. It's close enough to the wedding that they can't marry. Right, in Lakewood, you give 6 week notice, you replace it. Right, but if it, let's say it's close enough to the wedding that you can't replace it.
So the food for the caterer that was already bought, then you might be machuyev on that. But for the work to put it all together and everything else that was oinus for up until that point that he didn't pay for, then it's oinus that no one was aware about.
Okay.
He break it off.
It was a rocky engagement.
Oh, it sounds like, yeah. So here's in the piece I wanted to focus on. Yeah, so this is what I want to focus on, Rabbi Yisai. It's like, if you tell me that everything looked smooth and was sailing well, and I don't know, this came as a total shock to the father, so that's an oinus that neither party was entertained. Everyone knew that there are never broken engagements out there, and everyone who has a broken engagement should find this Richter Gazivik soon. But the Maisa is, it's an expectation that everyone entertains, and Mamela all is equal, so then the father will be pata on the musician. I want to focus now just on the musician and on the photographer. He'll be pata on the photographer and the musician. They are service providers. And then since it's one second, let me finish the thought. They're service providers, so the onus was equal, so you pata. But quite often that's not the case. Unfortunately, quite often it was, is that there were humps even to get to the engagement, and the humps just grew bigger after the engagement. And he understood that the situation is not ideal, but he's hoping for the best. He has to reserve a chasna day, because if it does work out, they have to get married somewhere. Now, he had the option to disclose to the photographer, by the way, it's a rocky engagement, my daughter might not get married, but anyway, I'm hiring you.
That's a normal thing to do.
But no, it's not a normal thing to do. But he chose to hide that information. I don't blame him for hiding it. Trust me, I don't blame him. It's a good thing that he did. It's a wise thing that he did. But sometimes, you know, you pay for it. So he held that information that this engagement is not the typical engagement. There is some more risk involved. So if there's some more risk involved, so then he can't cry later that this was a sudden surprise and oinus. He knew that it might not make it to the wedding, and the caterer, and the musician and the photographer did not. In which case, he will be responsible to pay the photographer and the musician. He'll pay Kapol Bato because they got a night off. They could spend time with their families, finally. But Lemaisa is, he will have to owe them because he knew something that they didn't know.
Let's say when he hired all these pilots, they were fine, but before it got too late, it started getting rocky.
That's a good question. I don't have a good answer to that. I've been asked that question numerous times. I don't have a good answer to that.
Define rocky. A lot of people have relationship
difficulties. We hope at least at the beginning, before they get married, that it goes smooth. If you see that it's not like that, you know, took extra works, and then in economics, and it was something that you knew. But I just want to, I'm making this distinction between a photographer and a musician on one side. They are service providers, and the caterer, that's really not a service provider. We think that he's a service provider, but he's really not. A caterer is a seller. He's selling me the food. It's not my food that he's cooking and preparing, so then he'll be a service provider. He's a cook on my food. No. It's his food that he's going to buy, or he bought it in the freezer, and he's selling me the food. Part of the deal is he has to sell it cooked, and he has to sell it when it's displayed nicely on a plate, and he has to have waiters serving it, but he's really a seller. Our whole sug of Shin Lamed Aleph is when there's a dynamic of employer-employee. When you deal with a different dynamic called buyer and seller, these dynamics do not play. This is not what the halakhas are. When you're dealing with the buyer and seller, we have other variables. We have what we call mechusar amana, I committed to buy something and I'm backing out. In which case, by Mechus Aman, if something changed, then I'll be off the hook. We could have garmi that you mentioned on the food that I might have caused you a hefsin on. Maybe, maybe not. Most likely there was no hefsin because Mamandashok, he probably didn't buy the food yet. And if he did and he's freezing it for 6 weeks from now, he probably could freeze it for 7 weeks also and get it for the next gasna. So there's apparently no hefsedim on the food at all. And there's no kinyanim on it anyway. It's a davar shelo b'loilam. So it's a whole different bear. That best, even if there would be hefsed, is garmi. I have no garmi. You need to have a threshold of a pesheya to be chay for gami, which the father was certainly not. He wasn't hoping that the engagement would break. So in which case, for the caterer, the father most likely would be pata. For the musician and the... Sorry?
For the pata wouldn't be considered.
Oh, so the pata is for a caterer, even if I would give you money, you can't... Kesef's not going to metaltalin. So you might forfeit that deposit because you gave over that deposit. It might be an understanding that if you back out for whatever reason, you forfeit the deposit. Maybe that would work. We can go into a different share called a smach. Well, we'll talk about it maybe a different time. But at least not put aside the caterer part, just the musician, the photographer, they are service providers. So then it depends if the father knew something that they didn't know.
Why is the photographer not looked at like the caterer? Meaning he's at the end, he ends up selling, you know, photos and they typed and they put marks on it.
Right, so you have to know, that's a good point. Could be, to some degree, it's like that. I agree with you that maybe photographers could be, it means if they, certainly in olden days, maybe if they sold you the albums. Like today, it's not like that. At least not by us, it's not like that. They don't sell albums anymore. They just give you a flash drive. They give you the digital copies of it. But maybe we could say you're buying the digital copies. I mean, maybe we could turn them into maybe that. So, okay, so then if that's the case, so let's leave it to the musician then. A musician is a service provider, so in which case you'd be chayv to the musician. Rabbi Sai, Tehillah Kochim Biyakam Oida, it was a beautiful experience together. I thank you. I you get it. It's again and again and again the same simple variable. All's even, the pile is going to be taking the hit. If the Balabais knew something that fellow didn't know, then the Balabais takes the hit. Children have been assigned with one makshava. You had mentioned early on about Mazel Goram. And I think there's an important makshava that we have to accept. And that is that we're not in control. The Baruch Hashem controls the world. He's Mesava Kolasibus. And he's the one who makes the Eintzim happen. And he's the one who makes everything happen. And sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow. We get a chulila, someone's in a car accident. The first thing he's trying to see who he could sue. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe the Rebbe Shem meant you. Maybe Hashem wants you to take the hit. I can't take the hit. I'm for sure above hits. I'm for sure good. His question is who? We live in corporate America, like probably the capital of the world in terms of lawsuits. We sue everyone, everything. For a little flip and fall, we sue three people. It's the landlord and the sidewalk, the city. We sue the insurance company. How many more people do we sue? We sue anyone we could think of who could sue. Right? Anyone. If there's someone nearby, we sue him. What'd you honk? You scared me. We sue everybody in the world. Now, really, is that real? Is that real? Maybe the Rosh Hashanah meant this person. These halachas really determine who the Rebbeinu Shalom meant. Now, because in all these stories, someone's taking a hit. And what the halacha is defining is what the address of that hit was. Who did Hashem want to hit? Who is Hashem going after? And sometimes, yes, Hashem means us. Chalila v'chas, it should never happen, but it happens. And Hashem is just reminding us that, hey, we're not in charge, and He's in charge. And if we accept it, we can go through life a lot better. If we accept these like bumps in the road, we can get through life a lot better with a more munis gakamim, more munis stam, a munin akadosh baruch hu. We can get stam, live a happier life. We can go through and realize that sometimes Hashem's sending me a message and I have to do tshuva. Maybe I have to increase time in my seder. But instead, what I do is I think who I could sue. So my whole focus is diverted to something else. It defeated the purpose. Hashem is sending a message that I should do something, and instead I'm trying to spread the message to other people. You should do tshuva. And you're going to get the lawsuit. You're going to have it. Now that's totally not. But sometimes you have to realize, yes, just accept it. I want to share with you a story. I'll end off with this story. My wife's grandfather lived on the west side. He was a Rebbe, and then he became in business. Maybe throw a feigen down. Big Moiker Rabbanim. But anyway, he lived on the west side. Anyone who lives on the west side of Manhattan knows that parking is horrific. Mamish horrific. There's not a spot to be found. And then they put alternate street side parking every other day. They're making you get mishigah. So Lemaise is one time his car broke down. I forgot what the problem was. It's irrelevant. And he parked it on the side of the street, but he couldn't move it. It was not a working car. So every other day, he got a stack of tickets. Because every time that a meter maid passed by, you're still here, another ticket. Still here, another ticket. So every time from 9 to 11 in the morning, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, he got tickets. That was, it took him about a week and a half to get his car in working order and to move it. That's the story. So Rabbi Sai, what do you do? So I'll tell you what, probably most of us would have done. We would have afford it. We would have sent a note to the city. Might prove, bring proof from the mechanic that the car wasn't working and I couldn't move it. He took all the tickets, tallied them up, wrote out one big check to the city and said, Baruch Shem Patrani, I'm moving on. That's it. I accept. I have a problem. My car broke down. There was a reason why my car broke down. There's the same reason why my car broke down. There's a reason why I got those tickets. Hashem meant that I should get those tickets. Baruch Shem Patrani, I'm moving on. I'm not wasting any more brain cells on this story. That's basically, I'm not on this tzara. I'm done with the tzara. It's over and I can move on. I can learn the normal seder and not be all raised up. I don't have to scream my wife. Nothing's wrong. Everything's good. Everything is fine. Sometimes it's kedai, Rabbi said, just to accept and move on. I'm not saying always, do whatever you want. But I'm just saying, sometimes, just realize Hashem is sending us the message. He means us. And accept it. And at least we'll connect with the Rebbe Sham. Rabbi says, shkoyik for listening. It's been a pleasure. You should have a good Geben Shia.
In case with the Balabai,